Hello, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel once more. Anyway, so this video, I'm asking who blew up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline because the plot thickens. There was a report in the Washington Post and the German magazine Der Spiegel claiming that Ukrainian sources and Western intelligence sources have revealed to them that it was in fact blown up by Ukrainian special forces, and they've named names. Now, this report is by no means probative, but bear in mind that these are two publications which have editorialized in favor of a continued Western military support for Ukraine. So it's unlikely to be propaganda. So these publications presumably genuinely believe that Ukrainians did it with or without the authorization of Volodymyr Zelensky. They haven't gone that far to say Zelensky actually gave the order. It could have people lower down the Ukrainian military acting on their own bat, I should say. So Nord Stream 2, that pipeline, in case you don't know, it goes from Russia, not too far from St. Petersburg, under the sea, under the Baltic Sea, that is, over 1,200 kilometers, and it comes ashore at Greifswald in Germany. So it's really the twin of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, and it's jointly owned by Gazprom, as in Gazprom, which is for gas production, that Russian company Uniper, Wintershall Dea, Österreicher Mineralölverwaltung, NGA Shell. So various companies, some from European Union countries, some from not. Shell is a Dutch British company. OMV is Austrian, and so on. I think it's registered in Switzerland. It will provide cheap gas to Germany and some other European Union countries. There's been a solve Germany's energy problems long term since they transitioned out of nuclear energy about 10 years ago after the Fukushima disaster in Japan. So the United States had lobbied very hard against it, saying you'll be over a barrel, you'll be subject to energy blackmail from Russia. But there was a less than selfless motive from part of the United States. They wanted to keep their European partners continue to buy American gas exports. But then there was that explosion in September 2022. Was it an accident or was it sabotage? I mean, almost certainly it was sabotage, because the Danes and the Swedes had passed through their territorial water. They detected four leaks happening almost simultaneously on Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 and so on. And it's been extensively investigated, but mostly people have not actually pointed the finger. Anyway, there have been rumors in the press for some time that Ukrainians did it. Well, like any crime, qui bono, right? Who benefits from this one? Well, the Russians doing it to really cut the European Union's offer from their oil and gas. But wait a second, Russia wants to continue selling it because then they make money. And they say to the Europeans, if you don't behave, you know, we can switch off your heating in winter. Now, Russia can't quite do that, but they can make the price go a lot higher. I remember the first year of the war, 2022, people were really worried coming to that winter. Energy prices were high, they were going to go even higher. Actually, that didn't happen. Economically, yes, it was painful, but it didn't break the European Union. But nevertheless, the European Union's resolve is brittle, and it could be eroded over time. It's already being eroded. But the economic cost of the war, by the idea that tens of thousands of Ukrainians are dying, tens of thousands of Russians, and there's really no end in sight. This war could grind on for several more years. It's really a consensus. It's going to go on till January 2025, at least. We see if Biden's reinaugurated or Trump comes back. And then after that, well, I won't speculate, but it could go either way. It could, either one of them being made president of the US could end the war quite soon, or could cause it to go on much, much longer. Various respected journalists like Seymour Hersh, they've opined on this one. So Russia has unusually called for a Security Council of the United Nations to investigate this. And that's not the kind of thing they like to do. They normally like to close down investigations when they're guilty about chemical gas attacks in Syria. No, that can't be investigated. I wonder why. So this one, they might genuinely be innocent, as in there wasn't much of an incentive for them to blow it up. Whereas Ukrainians, if then European Union countries know they can't get gas from Russia, oh well, there's little point in appeasing them. But on the other hand, perhaps that was too risky on Ukraine. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Ukraine gets 6 billion euros a month from the European Union to fund its essential operations, pay salaries, pay for vital maintenance and stuff like that. And if it weren't that for that, the war would be over a long time ago. So they get about 55% of their military equipment from the United States, and almost all the remaining 45% is from the European Union or the United Kingdom. So by blowing up a valuable asset, which is owned by European Union countries, the Ukrainians could really hack off EU countries and that were crucial to them. But maybe the Ukrainians concluded that this war is so risky anyway, you're just going to have to take that gamble. It's worth it because you know that then the EU countries are not dependent on Russian gas so much because they just can't get it even if they want it at any price. Okay, Russia can ship it, but that's more difficult. There's a limited capacity to take that in. And as a way of penalizing Russia, which obviously put a lot of money into Nord Stream 2 and Nord Stream 1 pipelines as well. So obviously it's not entirely clear who did it. But anyway, the Washington Post and the Mirror, as in Der Spiegel, they have actually named names. And they said Colonel Roman Chervinsky, who is was quite high up in the Ukrainian Special Operations Forces, that he is the brains behind the operation, that he expedited the attack, that there were six Ukrainians who went to the region. I'm not sure quite so if Sweden or Denmark, but anyway, they used aliases. They rented a sailing boat, supposing just for a pleasure cruise, and they used deep sea diving apparatus to go down to the seabed, lay the charges, and explode the gas pipelines. Anyway, and the Washington Post goes so far as to say that they were ordered to do so by some high-ranking Ukrainian officials who are the immediate subordinates of General Valery Zaluzhny. Zaluzhny is the one who recently, in an interview with The Economist, said that this counteroffensive is not going to succeed this year and so on, and that it's a stalemate. You might have thought it's rather unpatriotic words, even if what he said is entirely veracious. So is this true? Obviously, I don't know. These are two reputable publications who wouldn't say it unless they had fairly good sources for this one. And remember the old journalist rule, you never say anything unless it's been corroborated. You have to have at least two sources. The second source is almost confirmatory. And obviously in journalism, you seldom have certainty. You've got degrees of likelihood. But they obviously think this is highly probable that they dare say it. And of course, they're wrong sometimes. So Ukrainians, of course, strenuously and categorically denied that there had any involvement whatsoever in these explosions there. And it's not difficult to see why. I mean, the New York Times was saying since March that a pro-Ukrainian organization did it. They didn't say the Ukrainian government was behind it directly or indirectly. So Nord Stream 1 was really important because 40% of the European Union's gas supplies came through it into Germany and then piped to other EU countries. And it could carry up to 170 million cubic meters of gas every single day. I don't think they ever went that high. Russia was deliberately reducing gas supplies in the run-up to the war, early in the war, to send the prices sky high as a warning. You think this is bad. If you really irk us, you'll be cut off totally. I remember the war began in February, so winter was still on. The other thing that actually worked to Ukraine's favor is the first winter war was relatively mild, so Europe needed less gas than usual. So that's why European countries were less inclined to capitulate before Russia, but they might yet do so later. And Nord Stream 2 was going to have 110 billion cubic meter capacity, I think it was per annum, but it was actually never went ahead because it was very close to being certified. And then Russia, when was it, 22nd of February, notoriously recognized Lugansk and Donetsk, these so-called People's Republics, as independent countries. And remember where here you said heard it first. I said that's preparatory to their annexation absorption into the Russian Federation. So, I'm a fervent and farouche advocate of Ukrainian freedom. But again, I actually do buy this argument. I do think it's more likely than not that Ukraine is behind this, even if it wasn't with their commander-in-chief's authorization. So please tune in. Thank you, everybody, for watching, and make sure you donate to the channel with the greatest liberality. Follow me on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.